Sometimes we live in such a manner as if God is not all-knowing. God will always be all-knowing. I pray that all of us at the end of this camp will truly watch and pray. But perchance there may be some who refuse. Perchance there may be some who still feel that their own way is still the better way. And they do not want to watch and live a holy life. And they do not care about praying. They do not care very much about communing with God and leaning upon God rather than their own strength or wisdom. Please realize and understand that God always knows. Don't ever think that God does not know, simply because judgment may not come upon you immediately. That does not mean that God was ignorant. It does not mean that God does not know. It simply means that God is long-suffering and patient in dealing with each and every one of us. If you are not a believer yet, pray that through this camp, you may realize and understand that it is because God loves you that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. For if not for the Lord Jesus Christ, and you die for your own sins, God, as the righteous judge, will have no choice but to send you to hell. But God accepted what Christ has done for you by raising Christ from the dead, so that you may stand justified before Him, having all your sins cleansed and washed by Christ's precious blood. God knows. God knows all things. And in this instance, we're going to see the actions of Judas and the enemies of Christ and the actions of the disciples. In the case of the enemies of Christ, it was to betray Christ, to kill Christ. In the case of the disciples of Christ, because of their failure to watch and to pray, although their spirit was willing to die with Christ, to never deny Christ, but the conclusion of the text that we have read, you realize that the disciples all forsook him and they fled. When the Lord Jesus Christ needed them most, they deserted him. They fled. There are consequences that we have to pay when we do not watch and we do not pray. The disciples, they fled. The impact in this particular instance is very minimal because there was no church yet. None whatsoever. But there will come a point in time after the church was born. You realize that the actions of the disciples, they will be called apostles later on, sent by the Lord Jesus Christ to start and found the early local church. There will be a very great price to pay. Now let us look at this particular text and understand the impact of what it means when we do not watch and pray, but rather we watch and play. They think that they can play the fool with God, that they are in control and not God. Well, verse 47 to verse 49, the sovereignty of God is not only over the lives of God's people, God's sovereignty is over the whole world, believers and unbelievers' lives and actions without distinction. God is always sovereign. If God is sovereign only in the lives of God's people, then He cannot be called sovereign. Then how can we say that all things work together for good to those who love Him? If God cannot control the actions and deeds and the will and wishes of evil men, now bear in mind that though God may know and control their actions, it does not mean that sinful men are not culpable for their sinful deeds. Each and every one of them, including Judas Iscariot, even though God had already prophesied it had been better for this man not to have been born, that he will be held accountable for his betrayal, for all that he had done on this earth. And he will be sent into the lake of fire ultimately to be punished for all eternity for what he has done for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't thank Judas. Don't think or say that it was because of Judas that Jesus Christ was crucified, betrayed and crucified, and therefore we have salvation, so actually we should thank him. Don't you ever have this distorted understanding of God's word. Judas was an evil, wicked, self-centered individual. And all he cared about was Judas. And he will now betray the Lord Jesus Christ with a kiss. And while he yet spake, while Jesus was saying all these words to the disciples, still at the Garden of Gethsemane, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude. And what did they carry with them? Swords, staffs. That's all they carried. They think that Jesus Christ was just a common criminal. They thought that Jesus Christ will, together with his disciples, fight and rebel. And there will be all kinds of sword fighting. And so they brought a great multitude with all these weapons from the chief priests, elders of the people. So these were the ones who were behind it all. The chief priests and the elders, the lay leaders of the people, who could not stand the teaching and the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not mind the miracles. The miracles were good. Social work. But they could not accept his teaching and his claims that he was the Son of God, God himself. And now he that betrayed him, that was Judas, gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. You hold him fast. Don't let him go. You seize him. Arrest him, in other words. And forthwith, he came to Jesus, and then he said, Hail, Master, and then kissed him. That was a gesture of friendship. That was a gesture of brotherly love, kissing. That was a gesture that I do not wish you any ill will. I am on your side. That's what that kiss meant. But in the case of Judas, it was a kiss of betrayal. He gave it a big twist. He used that sign of friendship and adoration as a sign of identification. He is the one. Will we ever become so low and fall into such a sin by betraying Christ with a kiss? By saying that Jesus Christ is my friend, that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Master, I do not wish him any ill will. I want to uphold and lift his name high up. And then we betray him with a kiss. After we say all these wonderful words about the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we live a holy life or unholy life, which one do you think will betray Christ? You lift him up, you live a holy life. That means you say and then you live it out. But you say all those wonderful words as we sung in all those wonderful hymns, as we have sung, right? All those wonderful hymns, those wonderful promises and words and claims and boasts. And then we do not want to live a holy life. We do not watch and pray. We allow sin to breed. We continue to live a way that we think is my way. We don't bother to read God's word to find out what is God's word and God's will for my life. And then we just go on as if nothing has happened, as if this life as a Christian is just merely, I'm a Christian, I go to heaven, it doesn't care any way I live, it does not matter. Watch and pray matters a whole lot. Remember, Satan wants to destroy your mortal testimony, your life on this earth. Because your life on this earth can do so much for the cause of Christ when God uses it to win souls for his own sake. We fail to realize the kind of impact that our life can have. And because we fail to realize that, we just continue to give Jesus Christ a lot of kisses and then we betray him. It's only lip service. It's only adoration in terms of niceties. But in reality, please do not present a totally different picture. Wherever he sent, I will go. Truly. Whatever the Bible say, I obey. Truly. Truly. Bringing up children, every aspect of your life. That's what the Bible covers. No area of our lives the Bible does not cover. Every area. That's why the Bible is so wonderful. You must put in the time to study God's word. You have to.
Otherwise, all these beautiful singing are like throwing kisses at the Lord Jesus Christ and not living it out. We have to live it out. We have to. You are a Christian, are you not? You say you are one. Then let people see Christ in your life. Let your children see Christ in your life. Let your friends see Christ in your life. That's what the world needs the most. We live in a world that is full of confusion. We live in a time where there is no other period in the history of mankind where Christianity is as confused as what it is today. The reason is our modern means of communication. It has shrunken the world into the size of our phone. That's how small this world has become. We can literally hold it in our hands. And so the brands of Christianity that we see all over the world are so confusing, and most of them are evil, wicked, and false Christianity. And sometimes we all also get sucked into this confusion. Whenever we speak about the charismatic movement, about the errors of the charismatic movement, do you know that inevitably there will be a question somebody will raise? Are charismatics going to heaven? Why? Because of the confusion that has arisen in our age and in our world. Can Roman Catholics not go to heaven? All these questions are unnecessary. Why do you have to link doctrinal truth and error with the person's salvation? Just because you are believing in VPP, teaching the right doctrine, attending a fundamentalist church, does that mean that you are born again? No. Isn't it? It doesn't mean that you are born again if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. So do not confuse teaching right doctrine, exposing false teachings with salvation. You think an unbeliever who knows the Word of God, who cannot defend God's Word, he can, but he doesn't have to be born again. Don't you realize that? That many people who defend the Word of God, they are not born again. You don't know that? Welcome to the real world. Salvation is salvation. Defending God's Word is defending God's Word. Why do you think the Apostle Paul kept on reminding himself, after I have served and done all these things, I must make sure that I do not find myself a castaway. He said that many times, reminding himself, I do not find myself a castaway. Check your own salvation over and over and over again. Don't just give Jesus Christ a lot of kisses. Judas, one big gigantic kiss, he didn't care. It was a gesture of friendship and adoration, which we do week after week, week after week. Now, don't go to the other extreme. Some of us have very naughty juvenile mind. You know, there's somebody who asked the question, and this was also posed before when we had our DHW classes one Sunday afternoon. When we talk about how important it is to understand that the higher you are, the higher the standard of holiness God expects of you. And throughout the scriptures, you find this revealed over and over again. Moses is an example that we cited. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, was a high priest whose turn it was to enter the most holy place. And he doubted what the angel revealed to him. Straight away, he was struck dumb until the son was born. Mary, the virgin, ordinary Jewish girl. She doubted and she questioned and she asked so many questions, and the angel was very patiently answering all her questions. Right? You are supposed to know better as the high priest. You questioned, you doubted the power and the miracle of God. Pum, dum. Punish. And so the question was, so if that is the case, then I better not be a leader, though I better remain at where I am, never serve, just be a nobody, and then never grow, just be a child of God, an infant all my life, then God's standard of holiness that He expects of me will be very low, right? See, this kind of thinking is absolutely unbiblical. You see, it's our naughty nature, you know, our juvenile. Jesus says in Hebrews, such people, you have been a believer so many years and now you are still drinking milk? What has happened to you? You should be right now eating meat and be teachers of God's word. You don't even know the basic of the doctrines. So if you think that you do not want to have a higher standard of holiness, after so many years a Christian, you remain very low, have a low standard of holiness, you are now sinning in another manner. It's like a parent telling the child, I don't want you to grow up. Mom and dad will feed you and clothe you so that even though you are 40, 50 years old, you come and ask mom for pocket money. Okay? You don't ever, ever stand on your own 2 feet. You don't ever, ever grow up. You remain a child all your life. So that when you are naughty, we will still send you to the room. Right? That's exactly what you're trying to do, you know, when you say, I don't want to grow up spiritually. I just want to remain as a spiritual infant. You think God is teaching us that? Why do you think God wants a higher standard of holiness for his leaders? Because more is given, more is expected of you. More is demanded of you. When you are an adult, when you are naughty, when you commit a crime, you think the government is going to, now you go to your room and you stay there. You go to prison. Higher standard, isn't it? You are now an adult. If you are, what, a seven-year-old child, and you tell lies and you cheat in exam, you're not going to go to prison. You're a child. But when you are 27 years old, you cheat money, you steal, you're not going to go to your room. You're going to go to prison, right? Why? Higher standard of expectation. You're an adult now. This is all around us. Don't just give God a lot of kisses. Don't blow him kisses. Every time you sing a hymn, look at the words, mean what you sing and mean every word of it from your heart. And pray and ask God to give us the strength to fulfill the words that we are going to sing and we are going to praise him with. Don't just blow him kisses. And then after that, betray him by living any way we like. Don't do that. Judas was an unbeliever. He did that. You and I are better. Are we not? Are we not better? I hope we are. I hope all of us are. Because the price is too high. So close to heaven and yet not in heaven. And then our children, remember Lot. Lot was an example of man who never watched and he never bothered to pray. Sure, he's going to heaven. Don't think like Lot. I'm going to heaven. I don't care what anybody else think. Sure, you don't care what anybody else think. And when he really wanted to care on the last few moments of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, that time he wanted to care and he went to his daughters and his sons-in-laws who were married. Come, let's go. Tonight we are going to be destroyed. Fire and brimstone will come. We have only a few more hours. Let's pack up and let's go. You must be joking, right, Dad? You are mocking us. You are kidding. He had lost his credibility, his moral right to tell the truth. Now even though he told them the truth, they ignored him. They laugh at him. They mock him. Lot is going to heaven, yes. But he lost his testimony. He lost his testimony. Don't just blow kisses to the Lord when you sing hymns. Watch and pray by living a holy life. That's what we are told to do. Don't pretend. Please, don't pretend. Because God knows whether you are just blowing him kisses. Or are your kisses real and genuine, and they are all backed up by a life that is vigilant and diligent, a life that is watching, a life that is praying. We are not saying that everybody come for a prayer meeting. We are not saying that. We do not want to legislate attendance in prayer. It's wrong, because it has to come from the heart. The person who wants to pray should come. We are not going to pay you for coming. We are not going to beg you for coming. You must come because you believe that it is right. You have many, many people to pray for. You have many, many people to pray with. And you know that your prayers will ascend all the way up to heaven and it will not stop at the ceiling of the sanctuary because you have clean hands and pure hearts and therefore you come because you know your duty and your responsibility as the head of the home, as part of the member of the church, as you have many people in your life who need your prayers. And so you come. Nobody should be coerced into coming, like giving. If you don't want to give willingly, keep it. You don't want to pray willingly, don't pray. But you bear in mind the consequence. Bear in mind. Because the consequence you will find in verse 50 to 53, Peter. You will not be scandalized, right? You will not be offended, right? You will never deny Christ, right? So now he will use the arm of the flesh to make sure that they do not take their master. So that he will not be scandalized, right? Because if Jesus remained with us, we will not be scandalized. Jesus says, we will be offended if they betray him and they arrest him. All right, so we will stop the arrest. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and they laid hands on Jesus and they took him. And then behold, one of them, and that is Simon Peter, because John 18 verse 10 tells us that it was Simon Peter, the big mouth. The one who had been given the honor and the privilege of praying and watching with Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter, the one whom Jesus prophesied will betray him and deny him three times. I beg your pardon. Which were with Jesus, stretched out his hand, and he drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote his ear. And the name of the servant was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto him, put again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. This is a spiritual warfare, Peter. You can't fight spiritual warfare using swords and staffs and arm of the flesh. You will lose. You will fight with the sword. You will die by the sword. You cannot use the arm of the flesh. Watch and pray. Don't take the arm of the flesh and replace it for watch and pray. Please don't. That's what happens. That's what happens in our lives when we do not watch and pray. How many of us, when our children need to enter into a school? How many of us, when we look for a job? How many of us, when we look for a life partner? How many of us, when we go through difficult times in life, instead of going to the Lord on our knees and crying to Him for help, we try every which way possible. We call, we use phone call, we pull strings, we pull chains, we try every which way possible. And then when everything fails, then we pray. Sure, you ask people for help. By all means, we don't say you do not ask people for help. Please, as long as it is not illegal, as long as it is not criminal, by all means. But always pray. Always, never, never stop. Let it be the first, continuous, and the last thing you will always do. Always pray with your child. Always pray. You lost a job? Tell your wife, tell the family, let us all pray together. That the Lord will open another door for dad. Dad lost the job for whatever reason. Dad had tried his best, but somehow something happened. Now dad is without a job. Let us not panic. Let us continue to trust God. The Lord has always provided. Let us all pray together. And as the Lord opened the doors and you see how the Lord led and guided you, everybody's faith is strengthened and deepened in the process. That's what faith will do, where you will experience the presence and the nearness and the consciousness of God in your life. That's what prayer will benefit us. Prayer is not for God's benefit. Prayer is always for the prayer's benefit. Us. But when you do not pray, you will do things using the arm of the flesh like Peter. He took the sword. He thought that he could prevent the arrest of Christ so that they will be left, so they will never be left without a leader, a master, a teacher. They loved him. They could not do without him. And so they wanted to use the arm to stop. Jesus says, don't. You can't fight the battle using the arm of the flesh. You will lose. Satan will laugh at you. Satan will mock at you. You can't use money. You can't use your intellect. You can't use your connection because it is a spiritual warfare. Satan is a master deceiver and he had thousands of years of practice. He was there at the Garden of Eden. Now you are in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was there from day one and he has mastered the art of deception throughout the ages and aeons and centuries. You only live on this earth for how many decades? He had been on this earth for how many millenniums? And you think that by the arm of the flesh, by your wisdom, by your technology, by whatever gimmicks and gadgets you have, you can win Satan? Only way that you can beat him is to use the word of God. Do you know that? Because Jesus did it after he was tempted 40 days and 40 nights. He could just simply open his mouth and it will be the word of God. But Jesus Christ purposely used the written scriptures to rebuke Satan. And every time Satan tempted him, Satan failed Because when you know the Word of God, when you have the Word of God, you have the mind of God. When you have the mind of God, it is God who is dealing with Satan, and God is the only one who can deal with the creature. Nobody else. That's how important the Word of God is. Parents, you want to know how to pray and how to look after your family, you be biblical. You make sure that you study and consume the Word of God. You make sure that studying the Word of God is a priority, because there is no greater weapon and greater tool that can help you watch and pray successfully outside of the Word of God. Praying alone without the Word of God will also be insufficient, greatly insufficient, because you will pray amiss. But once you know the Word of God, you have the Word of God, and then you pray, you have the power that God Himself has given to you, and you will be the greatest blessing that you could ever be to your loved ones, to yourself, and to your friends, and to the people, everyone in your life. You will be a man with wisdom and counsel that the world will be stunned and shocked, because the wisdom and counsel you give will be God's wisdom and counsel. That's how wonderful it is. That's what you can become if you watch and pray. Do you realize that? Why do you not want to have that kind of power at your disposal, whereby you can move the arm of God, whereby you can have the mind of Christ, whereby you can be like God in the real sense of the word? Be like Christ, Christ-like. That's exactly what our sojourn on this earth is all about, isn't it? Ephesians 4, to become more and more like Christ, that is to like God, because Christ is God. That's what you can become. Look at yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror. That's what you can become, because that's what God wants all His children to become. Not just for a select few, but God wants every believer to become like Christ. You don't hold an office to become like Christ. You don't have to hold an office to become like Christ. You become like Christ first, then you hold an office. Not the other way around. There are many people who hold offices who are not like Christ, and they don't even know God's word. There was even one elder who said, "I'm not interested in theology." What kind of elder would ever say such a thing? Foolish. How can an elder say, "I'm not interested in the study of God"? It's like a son who says, after the father had brought up the son, and the son said to the father, "I don't want to know you." What kind of son would ever say such a thing? An ingrate, isn't it? After you have tasted all the benefits and the goodness and the love of the Father, and then at the end of it, you say, "I don't want to know you." Such an elder, his salvation is a big fat question mark. Because the Bible is the milk and meat to our hungry soul. And if you are not born again, then you are dead, and that's how you will never be hungry. But if you are born again, the hunger and the thirst for the Word of God will never be satisfied. You will keep on eating, keep on drinking, keep on eating, keep on drinking. Just like your physical food. You never stop eating, right? No matter how old you are, you're still eating. You may change your diet, you may eat a little less, but you never stop eating, you never stop drinking. The moment you stop means you die. You know that. One of the good, healthy signs of a patient recovering from illness is a good appetite. Same in the spiritual realm. Don't use the arm of the flesh. Please, don't replace the Word of God, watch and pray, with the arm of the flesh. Your experience, your IQ, your degrees that you have from universities, no matter how many PhDs you get, they are useless against Satan. He laughs at you. You want to use your computer science against him, he will laugh. Use whatever science against him, he will laugh. It's useless. The spiritual realm, only the spiritual book can help you. Don't use the arm of the flesh. Peter did not watch and pray, and he reduced himself to the use of the arm of the flesh. Did he not know Christ? Yes, he did. But he did not watch and pray, and he paid the price. He paid the price. Verse 53 says, Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? You see? Easily. If God had wanted to get rid of Satan, Judas, the great multitude with their swords and staffs, he doesn't even need to get 12 legions. He just get one angel, not 12 legions of angels. One angel can deal with 180,000 elite army soldiers of the Assyrian king, right? In the days of Hezekiah. One night, they all just died. Jesus is saying, if I really want to fight you guys, I can easily pray and my Father can just simply send them. I can even just open my mouth. Do you know that when Jesus said, I am, they all prostrated onto the ground? It's not recorded here in this confrontation. Are you the one? I am. The moment he said that, all prostrated onto the ground. That's how powerful Jesus is. Jesus does not need us to do his work using the arm of the flesh. So please don't. Please don't. The qualifications of an elder is the qualifications of a mature Christian. The mature Christian is a Christian for all of us. We're supposed to be mature. And you look at that list, none of them is of the arm of the flesh. Everything is character, spiritual. Everything. Don't use the arm of the flesh to fight God's battle. It is a foolish thing. It's like throwing grass at your enemy. Don't do that. You will lose, for sure. And the price, your testimony for Christ, and the souls, and the impact you have for the people around you will be badly, badly affected. Fulfilling God's prophecies, God knows, to encourage us. Verse 44 to 56. But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled? That thus it must be. So Jesus allowed himself to be betrayed. Jesus allowed himself deliberately to be persecuted. Jesus allowed himself deliberately to be crucified. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. Does that not remind you of one particular verse in the Bible? Remember the text that we sometimes read from Isaiah 53? Remember that? Isaiah 53. The Bible says, surely he hath gone, borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all, yours and mine. Verse 7, that's the key verse. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. God has prophesied. And the Lord Jesus Christ will always obey God's will and God's word. And God's will specifically for him was to be led like a lamb to the slaughter, not opening up his mouth, never to defend himself, and he never did. He never did. For your sake and for my sake, he just allowed himself, even though he could have, because he was guiltless. He could have. According to the law, according to justice, he didn't have to. But he wants to, and he did it for you and for me. And that is why when we as believers experience any form of injustice for Jesus' sake, don't murmur, don't bicker, and don't indulge in self-pity. Jesus did it for you and for me. And no matter what we do on this earth, for his sake, no matter what form of injustice, it can never, never be measured, not even close to what Jesus Christ had to go through for you and for me. He was without sin. He was perfect. He was guiltless. But he allowed himself to be led silently as a lamb to the slaughter for your sake and for my sake, for all our sins. According to prophecy, to do the Father's will. That's why the Bible says, you think he does not know, he knows. And yet he still went through with it. Don't hide from him. In the same hour, said Jesus to the multitudes, are ye come out as against a thief? Am I a thief to you that you come with swords and staffs for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all these was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled, mentioned twice. Fulfilling of scriptures. Fulfillment of scriptures. And that's what God wants you and me to do in our lives as well. God wants you to find his will for your life and live it out so that you will also fulfill God's will in your life. And once that is done, time to go home. You have to know what you have been saved to do. Very, very important. So important so that your life will not be aimlessly lived as if you are just marking time on this earth. Know why God has saved you for, and you will be the richest person on planet earth. Because you know the reason and the purpose for your existence, for your salvation. You know how rich and how wonderful it is to know that you are saved, you have been watched over by God for this particular purpose, and this is your life as called by God to do. You know how wonderful it is to feel that, to know that, that this life is not a mistake, that I'm not just aimlessly living my life without a purpose, without a significance, but to know that this is why God has saved me, and as long as God has saved me and God has given me breath, I will continue to do His work and His will until He calls me home. According to scriptures, Jesus knows that this was the will and purpose for His coming. And He will obey God's word, and He will not do anything to allow any deviation from the cause that God has set for him. And by God's grace and mercies, he will obey and he will walk the straight and narrow path that God has set for him, even though he knows that it will weigh heavily upon his soul, as he mentioned earlier, even unto death. He was very, very heavily burdened by what he knows will soon take place in a few moments' time. But he did it for you and for me. And now Jesus says, will you now wait and watch on this earth with me? For I know your life. If you are not obeying me, God says, I also know your life. And Jesus speaks to you and asks you, why are you not obeying me? Why do you want to go your own way? Why do you want to bring up your children your own way? Why do you not want to go the way of life? Why do you not want to go the straight and narrow path of righteousness that will lead to life everlasting? Why? You have the Holy Spirit with you. You have the Word of God with you. You have the church to help you. You have members, you have friends to help you. So much has been given to you for you to succeed. Why do you still want to live a wayward, humdrum Christian life? There is enough of the bad Christian testimony on this earth. Why do you want to add one more to it by your wayward life? Why? Why? I just simply do not understand. How can a Christian who truly knows Jesus Christ, after understanding how much the Lord Jesus Christ had to endure, had to go through for your sake, and then you say that you have received him and accepted him from your heart, confessing with your mouth that Jesus Christ is truly your Lord and your Savior. And then you don't care one single bit to bear his name in a manner that will glorify him, that will honor him, by watching and praying. Scrutinize your life. Which area of your life needs fixing? Please fix it. God can help you fix it. Every area of your life without exception, God can help you fix it. Cry to Him for help. You have any strained relationship in your life that you need to fix? God can help you fix it. Now, we are not asking you to fix your relationship with Satan. Okay, that one cannot be fixed. He will always be your enemy. We are not asking you to fix that kind of. We are not even asking you to pray for Satan. Please. We are talking about the people in your life that you say you love and you care for. Your world. Your world. Would you? You think that God does not know? When you want to go wayward, after all that He has done for you, He knows. And if you are truly born again, He is saddened that His own son, His own daughter, would want to go wayward. When you can be godly, He knows. Then why doesn't He punish? Because He loves you. But there will be a limit to His mercy, His patience, and His long-suffering. He will soon chastise. If you are His child, He promised in Hebrews chapter 12. But if you are not His child, and you continue to go wayward and nothing happens to you, all you have is just you think you are born again. That's all. You know that you are not a believer because you say you are one. You're only a believer because you are truly, truly born again. And a born-again believer will love holiness and righteousness. He will want to watch. He will want to make sure that there is no sin in his life. That's what watching entails. Look deep and scrutinize every facet and area of your life. Make sure that they are clean and above board. Your attitude toward your possessions, your attitude toward your loved ones, your friends, your wife, your husband, your children, everybody in your life, even your enemies. Make sure that it is the right kind of attitude, because Jesus had taught us how. Even our enemies, personal enemies, you must know how to relate to them. The Bible has taught us in the Sermon on the Mount. Enemies of God, Psalm 139, the Bible also taught us how to relate to them. All of them, they're all found in scriptures. If only you would read and study. God knows how much you need Him. Don't run away from Him. God knows the evil, God knows the good. God knows our weakness, God knows our strength. God knows. And God wants to help each and every one of us without exception, so that you and I truly can watch and pray and be strong Christians, that people in your life and around you can truly, truly be blessed by your life. By your life. Not just in the physical sense, but in the deep spiritual sense. You can do so much for the Lord Jesus Christ while it is still day. Before the night comes, where you can serve Him no more. Then all the disciples forsook Him and fled, because they did not watch, and they did not pray. They did not know how perilous they were. Will you also forsake the Lord and flee when He needed you most? He needs you to reach out to your loved ones, to your children. The children need you. God blesses you with the children. Therefore, God needs you right now to look after them, to care for them, to guide them in the direction of Christ. Would you? Your friends, your colleagues, so many of them, they need you. But would you forsake them? Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, help us, O Lord, that we may never forsake Thee. That we may never leave Thee. We pray, O Lord, that Thou wilt strengthen each and every one of us, especially every parent and every leader. For we realize the awesome and grave duties and responsibilities Thou hast placed upon our weak shoulders. Help us never to lean on the arm of the flesh. Help us always to lean upon the Lord Jesus Christ to see us through. For every day, every hour of every day, it's a day of challenge, testimony, and witness. Help us, therefore, to never stop watching, to never stop praying, for there is so much to do, so little time, and so many depend upon us. O Lord, may we not fail Thee and fail them, but that we may live for Thee and for them, that they may see Christ in us, and thus glorify our Father, who art in heaven. O Lord, hear our cry for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.